We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, kiddos, come on down. Hi. Good morning. Let's try one more time. Good morning. How are you guys? Y'all good? Can anyone tell me what today is?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. And during Sunday school, we walked to the church and made a lot of noise, and we waved our palm branches. And can someone tell me what we said? Anyone remember? Tell me.
Hosanna in the highest.
Say it again.
Hosanna in the highest.
Yeah, we walked around all through church yelling in a happy voice, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Now, why in the world did we do this? Maybe some of the people out there don't know. Well, a long, long time ago, Jesus rode in to the city on a donkey, and the people were waiting for a king. And so they were so excited that he had finally arrived, and they waved the palm branches yelling that, right?
And
they did yell other things, and they put palm branches on the ground, and they would take their... Yeah, and they would lay them for a king, because that's what you would do for a king, right? And so that was when Jesus marched into the city, and then this whole next week, we actually, is called Holy Week, and we celebrate Holy Week, and at the end of Holy Week, does anyone know what it is? Easter, right? We celebrate Easter. So we actually have a fun little thing. Holy Week seems like it's sometimes a thing for all of those guys out there, the adults, you know? But we've got something for you guys. Do you want to do something for Holy Week, Hazel? Yeah? Okay, you ready? I'm going to tell you guys what it is. How many of you have ever been on a scavenger hunt? Who? Raise your hand. Anyone out there been on a scavenger hunt? Yeah? How many of you have ever been on, ready for this, a digital scavenger hunt? Raise your hand. Anyone out there? Oh, look. There's a few. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Your parents are going to get a text, and you guys out in the congregation, y'all can do this too. They're going to get a text, and every day I'm going to send you a clue. You're going to have to figure out what the clue is, and then you're going to have to go and take a picture with that thing. For example, if I said, the day that Jesus rode in on a donkey, what would the answer be? Palm Sunday. So then you could be like, well, what reminds me of Palm Sunday? And then a palm, right? And then you'd go, oh, hey, cheese, click. And you'd take a selfie with your entire family with the palm branch and then send it to me. And then I'm going to have something every single day for you guys to do. A scripture reading. So at the end of Holy Week, you've had fun, you've learned something, and guess what you get to do? You have picture memories of your family. Does that sound fun? And here's the even cooler part. At the end of the week, for all those families that have participated, I'm going to put your little name in an Easter basket to win a giant Easter basket full of fun stuff. Does that sound good? Yeah? Okay, so deal is y'all are going to learn during Holy Week, right? Yes? Fun learning. It's the best kind. Okay, pray with me, guys. Dear God, Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for our family, our friends, our pets, and this awesome church. Amen. Now, guess what I forgot to do? I forgot to give them the phone number. So everyone has to take your cell phones out as the kids are going back. Go on, go on, go on. Can I still do this?
Yeah, I think
okay.
You better.
Okay, so everybody has
no
their phones
one can
out?
Join.
Okay, you're going to go to the number 281.
881942. 281-688-1942. And type text in the word Holy Week with no space. If you have an iPhone, it will self-correct with the space, and you will not be able to win. No space, and if you know you'll do it right if you got a text that says welcome or something, right? And someone did it because my phone's blowing up. 281-688-1942. In adults, so I got a question. So like if I do this and I send my picture in every week, does my name get in the bet? Oh. I think you should have two baskets. One for adults and one for the kids' families. Yes. In fact, all in favor of two baskets, say aye. Anyone opposed? Two baskets. Two baskets. 281. 688-1942, Holy Week. So we had a little accident next door, Rhonda, so no pressure. It just blew the whole sermon up. No pressure. So does anybody have a domino? Just so you know, I don't know what these are. These are Mexican train dominoes. I don't know what that means. So for those of you who don't know, I served churches in East Texas. I served a church in Madisonville. I served in Bullard. I served in Van, and that is East Texas. Deep East Texas, in my opinion. And for the most part, I just want to be honest, I loved it. Looking back, those were some of the best years of my ministry. It was fun. Life was a little slow for a city boy to adjust to, but there were certain things I loved about it. One of my favorite things about serving in East Texas was Friday night football, right? If you've ever been in East Texas, and I mean real East Texas, I'm not talking Justin Tyler. I'm talking the small town East Texas where the entire community shows up at the football game, whether they are have a kid or not, they are there because on Friday night home game, you went to the game. It was fun. And for that one night, there was no Baptist, no Methodist, no Presbyterian. Neither of the places I had Catholic churches, so there were no Catholics anyhow. And there was just none of that because everyone had one goal, cheering on the Van Vandals, which was, that's their name, or the Bullard Bulldogs, I think. But the Van Vandals are my favorite. I didn't know what a Vandal was. Look it up, you'll know. And that's what they did, and I loved it. The other thing I loved about serving in East Texas was the being able to walk, and you could do this, Justin and Tyler, being able to walk around the square, right, and hang out on the square or on Main Street, depending on whether it was in Van, there wasn't a square, but on Main Street, and dropping in on different businesses that you knew either your church members would be there or your church member owned the business, right, Matt? Equipment. And it's just, there was just a different, they looked at preachers differently in East Texas. And it was just different. And I loved it. Now, there were some things I couldn't stand. I want to be real honest. I never got the hang of fishing for crappie. I spent a lot of hours on Lake Palestine because I loved some of the men I was with, but fishing for crappie is boring. Time goes way too slow because you don't do anything but sit there again and again. And the crappie's like this big. So when you catch one, it's like, okay, great. What do you do with it now? You supposedly eat it. Ugh. The other thing that used to drive people crazy and I could never get the hang of was I did not know, truthfully, that you played games with dominoes. Did you know that? I didn't know. There was this group of men at both my churches who would gather at the local drugstore and they would drink coffee, tell stories, and they would play either 42 or shoot the moon. Now, for a city boy, shoot the moon was not a domino game. Whole different meaning, right? And I could never get the hang of either of those games. I mean, I always thought the only thing you did with dominoes was this, right? And you build these chains, and then eventually you knock them down. That's what I did. And I could sometimes do that. I wasn't very good, but I was better at that than at 42 or shoot the moon. In fact, finally, one old man, Herschel Cox was his name, no relation to Dave, but he was actually older than Dave, if that is believable. And Herschel finally, sweetest man I've met, and he just looked at me and said, hey, preacher, we really love you, but why don't you just watch? So my job was to watch them play 42 and shoot the moon. Because I just thought you did that. Rhonda, Matt says you are like the world champion at dominoing. So would you come and help me? Matt said if you Google his wife, you'll see her holding a trophy for a record of the most dominoes ever stacked. And Rhonda has that. So we'll see if she does better than Brian Schwartz did. But, oh, by the way, if you want to know what the world record is for the most dominoes in a chain, you have to, if you Google it, there's all these different categories, so you have to be very specific. However, I did find one. This is 22 guys from Germany were building this thing, and they were going for a world record of 600,000 dominoes, right? This is a true story. They made it to 596,000. Wait a second. A fly landed on one of the dominoes in 15 minutes later, because it took 15 minutes, 596,000 dominoes were laying flat and they didn't get the world record. But they don't have a video of it. I looked. I was just going to do that for the whole sermon and say, let's pray. But so I don't know what the record is, so don't ask me. But I digress as usual. And while I love watching Rhonda play with these, and while I love playing with them, I never thought the day would come where I thought, well, where I felt as if God was telling me that I need to be a domino. And that you need to be a domino. And after this week, I have come to believe that that may be the very message of Palm Sunday, that we need to be dominoes. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday, because Palm Sunday is one of those few accounts in the Bible that are found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them write about it. They're very similar. There's these little differences here and there, but for the most part, they are very similar in the telling of the story. My favorite happens to be in Mark's gospel. I just love the way Mark describes the scene. But before we open it, I just want to give you a real brief background. There was a reason why Jesus picked the beginning of what we call Holy Week to enter into the city. It was the beginning of Passover. And Passover is the Jewish feast where the Jews remember and celebrate that they were once slaves, they were once being ruled by an oppressive government, and God freed them. That's the Passover. And Jesus chose that day as a symbol, as a sign that God was going to do it again, but in a different way. Now, what else happened on that day? Jesus came, if you look at the map, he came from Bethany to Bethphage into Jerusalem. Came from the east. Now, what else was going on? If I knock your table over, I'm sorry. What else was going on is on the same day, the tradition was, on the beginning of Passover, that the Roman governor, Pilate, would also have a parade. He would come in from the west because that's where he lived. He didn't live in Jerusalem. He lived in a city about 60 miles outside Jerusalem called Caesarea Maritime and was on the coast. And so he would come in with his army on his white horses, and he would come in from the west, and Jesus was coming in from the east, and Pilate would come in to remind the people that if they were even thinking about a revolution or an insurrection, they better give it a second thought because they had the most powerful army ever assembled. And so you had two parades happening on the same day. One on a donkey, one on a horse, one for power, one for peace. You with me? So now with that, open up Mark, your Bible to the Gospel of Mark. Oh, you're doing good. No pressure. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt or a donkey, depending on your translation, that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Then Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Now, the reason why I like Mark's gospel on that, because there's this, it's a little bizarre, right? Mark is not one in the rest of the gospel to give many details. If you read Mark's gospel, everything is like this, very fast moving, except on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is 11 verses long. Did you notice what six of the verses was about? Six of the verses were about the donkey and how Jesus was to obtain the donkey. Over half of the most important story next to the resurrection in the Bible, half of it by Mark is spent talking about this donkey. And so I couldn't figure out what was so darn important about the donkey that Mark took all the time. So I figured, that's got to be my sermon. Something about the donkey, right? And so I thought, what? Ah, then it hit me. The two disciples. That's what it's about. Jesus picked two disciples and said, "You guys are to go to Jerusalem, find a donkey, untie it, and bring it back to me." Right? Now, the reason why I think that's a good sermon is because, well, I even had a title. The title was, this was great, Donkey Duty. Right? Because that's what the disciples were on. They were on donkey duty. And it was going to be perfect. Because I guarantee you, when those two disciples, who we don't really know who they are, when those two disciples signed up to leave everything and follow Jesus, the last thing on their mind to do was to go fetch a donkey. They wanted to sit on the right and the left. They wanted to be part of this revolution that would change the world. Let someone else go get the donkey. And the whole theme of donkey duty was going to be, sometimes you're called by God to go get a donkey. It was going to work. I was even going to bring a donkey in. It would be perfect. And I love the title, Donkey Duty. Only problem is, I was about to give that to Matt and tell him, here's how it is, when I looked at the scripture again. Perfect. 91. You go, girl. You're a rock star. Matt, look at this. Can you show that? I mean, look how perfect that is. Ooh, everybody, ooh. So I was about to give the title to Matt, and I read the scripture again, and I noticed something I hadn't underlined or highlighted, and I thought, oh, why didn't I look at that? And all of a sudden I realized, maybe the message of Palm Sunday has nothing to do with the donkey. Maybe the message of Palm Sunday has nothing to do with the disciples. Maybe the message of Palm Sunday has to do with a decision that someone made. I mean, right? Remember what Jesus says? Jesus tells the disciples, you guys go into town, find a donkey, he's going to be tied up, untie it, and if someone stops you, ask them, and they ask, what are you doing? You tell them the Lord needs it, and they're going to give it to you. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. They went in, and somebody, think about this for a second. That donkey was tied up, which means someone owned that donkey. Someone paid for that donkey. Someone fed the donkey. Someone took care of the donkey. Someone depended on that donkey. And these two guys with these strange accents that come from another part of the country come up, start untying it, and when they and you say yes, maybe, just maybe, the message of Palm Sunday has to do with that decision. See, when I die and I go to heaven, I want to find Donkey Guy. Because I want to ask him if he knew. I want to ask Donkey Guy if he knew that when he gave his donkey to these two guys from a different part of the country, did he know that God was using him as a domino? Did he know that that simple decision would lead into a chain of events that would eventually change the world? I mean, think about this. The guy gives his donkey. Jesus gets on the donkey. Jesus rides the donkey. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. It's Passover. Jesus goes into the temple. He cleans the temple out of the money changers. Right? Right? Then he goes to Thursday. He gathers his followers in the upper room. They have what we now do as the Lord's Supper. They pray. He goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He is betrayed. He is kissed. He is taken away. He is tried. He is crucified. He died, and he resurrects on Sunday. But it all began over here when Donkey Guy said, yes, you can have my donkey. And I want to know if he knew that giving his donkey would trigger these events like a series of dominoes that would change the world. Because I'm willing to bet he had no clue. He just heard that God needed it, and he gave it. I can't talk about your life. I can only talk about mine. But I don't think we're that much different. Because I know in my life, there are too many times when I know God is nudging me to do something. He's nudging me to make a call or to stop by and visit or to do something, and I always have a good excuse. I'm doing ministry. I'm in busy. I'm working on a sermon about love and grace. Don't bother me. And I find out later that if I would have responded like this donkey guy did, lives might have been changed. Now, every once in a while, I get it right, you know? Every once in a while, I get a nudging from God, and I actually say yes, and I can step back later. I can look to see how God used that yes to start a chain of events that would change a life. That's what it means to be a domino. And that's what God's calling us to be. Dominoes. Because the truth is, every one of us have some sort of donkey that God needs. It doesn't have to be something valuable. It could be something simple as a hug or a letter or a phone call. Every one of you have some sort of talent, some sort of gift that God needs. And if you give it to him, it could change lives. Some of you are called to preach or to teach or to sing in the choir. Some of you are gifted to work with children or to work in the office. I don't know, but there is not one person sitting in the pews of this sanctuary who is not given some sort of talent or gift from God that we are to use. Every one of us. God does not make talentless, useless people. And you and I are called to sometimes be dominoes. So that maybe when you say yes, or when I say yes, it starts a chain of events. Isn't that amazing? One person, one decision, and lives can be changed. Be a domino. Any questions? That's what a life change looks like. That's Palm Sunday. So we gave you a domino so that maybe you'll remember to be a domino. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you.